when they give Mr. Borton. Certainly echo Mr. Borton's comments. It's beautiful. Thank you very much for that. Very inspiring. I love that song. Also, appreciate Mr. Borton's comments when he was explaining how they went out to do some filming to be on today. I started asking the question if something was missing in people's life. It really is very telling about human nature. Human nature is such that once you've been in a particular environment so long, you can't recognize or even consider sometimes that something outside of your environment is really missing, or that something could possibly be better than what your friend is currently. And that's really the way the world is. When you stop to think about the world today, it walks around in darkness, as God's word tells us. In darkness, and also walks around, people walk around in this world with a different spirit that is not from God. A spirit that causes problems between relationships of people. That spirit flows from one person to another person on a daily basis in this world today. And that flowing of that spirit in this world is exchanged by rudeness, by selfishness, by lustfulness, and by hate. When you exhibit those attributes from you to another person, that spirit flows from you to that other person. They receive that same evil that comes from rudeness, selfishness, lustfulness, and hate. They are the fruits of the flesh. That same spirit, as a person that this world walks around with, desires to be satisfied. It desires satisfaction because it's a lustful spirit. And that spirit wants and desires to be satisfied. It's pursuing satisfaction. And the ironic thing is that spirit that is within man cannot be satisfied by physical things. So it's a vicious circle. They have a spirit in them, that spirit of man, of hate, of rudeness, of selfishness, of lustfulness, and a desire to be satisfied, and it's shared between other men and other women in this world today, and it seeks satisfaction. And the desire to try to find satisfaction by physical things that cannot be achieved. The motivation behind the spirit is that if I can just receive what I am desiring now, I'll be happy. I'll be content. But their pursuit leads them to further frustration, further unhappiness, further discontentedness, and wrath towards their brother and their sister. The spirit, as I said, flows throughout this world from one person to another. This world yearns for change, and they don't see it. They don't see that thing that is missing in their life. And it's sad. It's sad when we have a different understanding, we walk by a different spirit. It's sad when we see others that are fighting amongst themselves, desiring for happiness and not achieving it. It hurts. Paul said the whole creation, not just those in God's church, Paul said the whole creation, all of this world, grows and labors in birth pains. The birth pains are that troubled time right before the joyous time of giving birth. This world is a part of that time now, with the birth pains, right before God's kingdom comes, right before Jesus Christ returns to this earth and brings the joy that is hoped for and expected by those who have God's truth. Mm-hmm. Here Paul describes this spirit and the battle that this world is waging, but they don't see it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, in you he made alive. That's speaking to you and I. He made us alive through his spirit, of giving us his spirit. He described our condition before we received his spirit. It says, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Paul's talking about that spirit that is exchanged on a daily basis between one another in this world. Among whom also we are once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh. That's what he says next. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You see, that spirit of man is a lustful spirit that desires to be satisfied. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, therefore by nature. What does it say about their nature? Children of wrath. Children of unhappiness. Children of fighting amongst themselves. Just as the others, they would have made this world, describing who we were prior to God, as Paul described it, before we were made alive through God's Holy Spirit. But is there a reason that Paul described them as children of wrath? Of frustration. Do you see that your life is different? Think about that. Do you feel different? Do you feel different than this world that you're amongst on a daily basis? I didn't ask you if you feel better than this world, or if you are better than this world, or more righteous than this world. Because we all sin, just as the world does, and sin leads us to death, just as they are the consequences, and without Jesus Christ's sacrifice. That's the dividing line. We sin as the world sins, but we have Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, and his resurrection to life with us. The world at this current time does not. So do we see ourselves as different when we walk throughout this world? And again, not that you feel more righteous, but just simply different. Or maybe a better described as out of place. Like you just don't fit in, you just don't belong. I want to ask you to keep that thought in mind as we shift gears just a little bit. God chose a particular man to lead his people out of bondage. Out of slavery. That man was Moses. Moses was an Israelite born and raised in Egypt. Moses then carried through his life, fled Egypt and dwelt in the land of Midian, where he married his wife Zipporah. And Moses and his wife had two sons. And their sons' names are significant for today's sermon. They're significant in the sense that I believe how Moses named his two sons completely pictures Moses' view of himself in the world that he walked. And we also have this same parallel as Moses did in our walk in this world today. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 18. We'll read verses 1 through 4. Exodus chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, and he had sent her back with her two sons. Now notice verse 3 and verse 4 here. With her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. Moses named one of his sons with the name of Gershom, which means refugee in Hebrew. And it gives us the definition of why he named his son Gershom, because Moses felt and realized that he had been a stranger in a foreign land. Moses recognized that he was different when he compared himself from the rest of the world around him. He felt that he was a stranger in a foreign land. Verse 4, the name of the other was Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of the Pharaoh. So Moses stepped back as he was giving birth, his wife was giving birth, to their two sons, and he named one, describing his feeling of who he was as he walked the earth in his native time. That he was a stranger and a strange man. But then he also looked at his other son and said, yes, I'm here. I might have feelings of loneliness and of pain. My mother, my God, my Father in heaven is there to be my help. A powerful message. So powerful that Moses thought and felt this to the depths of his being. He said, I'm going to name my two sons about my life. And his feelings and where he felt he fit in to the world in his day and time. Moses clearly viewed himself as a stranger in a land that wasn't his. He felt different. He longed for the land promised by God. God gave him a vision, didn't he? Before he set out with the Israelites, he said, I'm going to leave you. And Moses kept that in the forefront of his mind. He yearned and focused and hoped and longed for that promised land. So do we, don't we? So do we. We have that same promise, that same hope set before us of Jesus Christ's return and the kingdom being set up on this earth. We long and we hope and we yearn for that all the time. We move in that same homeland, not on a physical plane that Moses was focused on, but on a spiritual plane. And when we're in God's kingdom, I don't think that we'll feel different or out of place anymore. When Jesus Christ and God the Father, Jesus Christ returns to this earth and God resurrects us to a new life, a spirit-filled life, I think our first calling is, I'm at home. I'm at home. This is where I belong. It will be a magnificent time Moses knew many struggles and difficulties as he walked through the strange land. He and his wife suffered greatly at times, often led by men who weren't dedicated to God. We often suffer the same difficulties. Yet through all, what did Moses see? That God was there to guide and to help. No matter how difficult his future was, Moses knew that God was with him to help him and guide him through life. It didn't mean that Moses and the Israelites had no problems. They had more than their share of problems, as we do today. But God was with them through it all. The title of the sermon is, you might wish it was a sermon. What is God's approach to you in the call that He's given you in making you a stranger?
Yes, I have loved you with a different
Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. A beautiful description of how God has called us to grow us out of this world. Just as God has drawn you to Him, has made you a stranger, we need to make sure that we remember and remain a stranger. The Feast of Pentecost pictures that God our Father has chosen to share His very Spirit with you. To share the fruits of His goodness. From the bottom of the back of your conscience, to ensure we don't allow the Spirit to be quenched in our lives. We need to make sure that we keep that fire burning. God doesn't force you to remain a stranger. It is your choice. Be out, away from this world, and be different from it. It was the same choice that the Israelites had when they received the call from Baal to come worship and to do things that were evil. God did not force Israel. They were punished for their disobedience, but God never physically forced Israel to obey Him. And He does not either. It's our option to remain a stranger in this world. It is by our own free will we continue in this condition as strangers. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul tells us to be in our life, to remain a stranger in this world. Having their understanding or being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling or past the conscience have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not learned so from Christ. Jesus Christ has not taught us to live our life that way. If we have heard from Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, put out that human spirit, that human nature, to control your mind and your thoughts on a daily basis. That you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, therefore putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. We are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You see, this world gives place to these things. This world allows that wrath to build and to grow in their life. and it causes them much pain and suffering in their personal relations with one another. Verse 27, nor give place to the devil. If we make sure we are on guard of these things, we will continue to walk as strangers in this land. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt words do not grieve the Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't keep pushing God's Spirit out of your life by living your life according to the lusts of the flesh, according to the way that leads to frustration and unhappiness. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And that last verse is so tough to do in our life on a day-to-day basis. Because too often our first reaction is to strike out even against our brother in Christ. And to not be kind, to not be tender-hearted, to not be forgiving. We need to make sure that we live our life as a stranger should in this world. And it's not easy. It's not easy to keep our focus. But remaining a stranger requires a diligent focus every day, beginning from the moment we wake up in the morning. And renewing our focus for that day. Guarding your mind from the evils that are out there that are pulling you away from the way of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Why are you considered holy? Because God's Holy Spirit is to dwell in you. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. You can't put on these things unless you're willing to sacrifice every day of your life. And whatever that sacrifice may be, that means sacrificing, giving up something. Maybe even giving up something that you consider your right to have. But living a life dedicated to Jesus Christ and God the Father is a life of being willing to sacrifice yourself for someone else. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also shall forgive them. How many times have we gone before God the Father and asked for forgiveness, and at the same time you think to yourself, I deserve no forgiveness. But yet, God forgives us through Jesus Christ. He does. And He's faithful to forgive us if we're sincere in our repentance, sincere in our request for forgiveness. God is faithful. We're to do the same thing for one another. Someone may come and need forgiveness from you, and you may think, they don't deserve forgiveness. Just as we don't deserve forgiveness from God the Father, we're still to give it. Going on in verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. That bond, that sealing, that thing that will bring you to perfection in God's kingdom. You must have that true, genuine, sincere love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we're here today for. To offer that praise and that singing and that glory to God. We're going to do it now through services, in our fellowship after services, tonight at the concert for God, and on through the day of Pentecost. Through special music, through the sermonette, through our offering to God. We're gathered here today and this weekend to do is significant in God's eyes. We're just not here to enjoy the beauty. That's just icing on that cake. We're here to grow closer to one another and to pour out worship to God on this fellow Sabbath today. James chapter 1, verse 27, just for your notes, it says that pure and undefiled religion is for one to remain unspotted from the world. It's for a person to make sure that they don't lay down and get drawn into what is calling you from this world, the evil that is calling you from this world. We must, to be strangers, remain unspotted from this world. The second point is God is your help through it all. God is your help through it all. Moses named his second son Eleazar because he said, the God of my father was my help. He recognized the power of God. He recognized how much God was with him to guide him and to help him in his walk, no matter how difficult it was to be. God has made us strangers, and as I mentioned, He has us walk in a strange land. The strange land can be very difficult at times. But as Moses stated, our Father will be there to help us. We do not walk alone through this strange land. Sometimes we may feel alone, but we're not. God promises to be there for us and with us. When God called Moses and began his process of making him a stranger, what was Moses' reaction? You remember the story about how God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, and he called him over to the burning bush? And Moses went on to explain all kinds of reasons why he felt, God, I'm not up to this. I can't do this. My speech is imperfect. I have problems and handicaps. If you have time, you can go through and refresh that story of Moses' encounter with God. And God said, go forward, Moses, and I'll be with you. I'll be there to guide you, direct you, to give you the help that's needed. Because God knew that Moses wasn't focused on his purpose. This wasn't Moses' goal. This was God's goal for Moses and his people. And God knew that he would bring Moses through it all. God the Father and Jesus Christ is with us daily in our current walk as strangers in this world. With us daily through His Spirit, Christ is our saving power. He is the difference in our walk in this world. We do not walk alone in this world. As Christ went out to His disciples, let's notice what He told them in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Very well known set of scriptures. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. It's the commission given by Jesus Christ to His disciples to go out to preach the kingdom of God and to baptize. Go therefore, verse 19, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, what is Christ promised? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even until the end of the age. Jesus Christ is with us. You can do a study on the name of Jesus Christ throughout His Word. And it's just not one single solitary meaning of who Jesus Christ is for us. There's many. Just a few I'll give you now this time. Yahweh Nisi means the Lord is my banner. Meaning a picture that God and Jesus Christ go before us every day. Yahweh Shalom means that the Lord is peace. He is the one that gives us our peace. Yahweh, forgive me if I don't pronounce all these correctly. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. He is our provider. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is there. They're getting tougher. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of his people. Yahweh Elohim Israel, Lord God of Israel. Yahweh Nisan, the strength of Israel. And there are many, many more descriptive names of Jesus Christ and God the Father and who they are to us. God inspired these different names for us to give us a clear understanding of who he is for us. Just as Moses didn't walk alone in his strange land, being a stranger, neither do we. Always remember that Jesus Christ is there for you, with you, on a very personal and intimate level. He wants you to rest assured that he is with you and will be guiding you along the way towards his kingdom. Prior to Christ's birth, an angel appeared in a dream to Joseph, reassuring him that all was well with Mary's pregnancy, and to go forward with the marriage. The angel also told Joseph the name of that baby. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew chapter 1, beginning verse 20 says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid of being saying to you, marry your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call him his name, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet saying, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. See, Jesus Christ was Emmanuel, God with us. It's not just doesn't mean God. It means God with us. God is with us. That is the name of Jesus Christ, and it defines who he is to us today. Just as a reference, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Verse 29 again points out who Jesus Christ and God the Father is to us. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help, the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. God is with us to deliver us, to be there for us. I want to look at two more passages as we work towards closing. John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10,
Because of their love for us. Have a great rest of the Sabbath and Pentecost tomorrow.